Morning, everybody. It's the week of Purim. I had thought about talking about Purim on a Friday, but I must say, the Gros sent out a letter with very clear and concise instructions that I think I have nothing to add. I really appreciated them. I printed them out. I even gave them to someone. So for any questions, you look over there, clear and fine and good. To sum up for those who are interested, one should have one's, there's an issue to have a meal on Friday in a way that will ruin your appetite for Shabbos. That means, the lashon of the Shulchan Aruch is that a su'uda haragu bo b'mois achol, whatever you eat as a weekday meal, you're allowed to eat on Friday. But something bigger than a weekday meal, you're not allowed to have on a Friday. And that is before the 10th hour. After the 10th hour, even a regular meal you shouldn't have. So, what do you do when you've got Purim on a Friday? You need to have a Suda's Purim, which is going to be bigger than a regular weekday meal. And a regular such a meal, which is bigger than a regular weekday meal, you're not allowed to have on Friday. The answer is that a Suda's Mitzvah is an exception to the rule. So if a person makes a bris on a Friday, you're allowed to have a Suda's bris. He makes a pidyon haben on Friday, you're allowed to have a Suda's pidyon haben. The Mother of Ron discusses if you have an engagement, he says maybe you should push off the engagement, you can make an Eros, you can make No, I mean, you can make a vote. There's different ways of doing it. There's a dafka have to be on a Friday. But it's discussed. If you did make an Eros, now's the time to make a Suda's Mitzvah, then you should make the Suda's Mitzvah on Friday. But in all cases, when possible, you're supposed to do it before Chatzos. That's brought down in the Ramah that you should do it before Chatzos. And therefore, if you're going to have a breast, you do it before Chatzos or Pit Naben, and therefore, Suda's Purim also should be done before Chatzos, which is, if I'm not mistaken, 11:49 on Friday. And therefore, one should start one's meal before 11:49. However, as I said, the issue of eating a big meal on Friday is the whole day. But to eat a regular meal, the issue of eating a regular meal on a Friday in order not to avoid your appetite on Friday night ends at the 10th hour, which is about 2:45, if I'm not mistaken. Therefore, there are opinions, there's a basic frame, Shem Maril, that says that this restriction of not having a big meal and you're allowed to have it for a Suda's Mitzvah is nothing to do with Chatzos, it has to do with the 10th hour. And therefore, even the Chatchila, you can start your Suda after Chatzos as long as it's before the 10th hour. So therefore, there are two opinions as to up till when can you start the Suda. So obviously, if you want to keep all the opinions, you start it before Chatzos. But if you didn't start it before Chatzos, you just have to start it after. There's water line without any problem. If there's things like Shalom Bayis, the kids are going crazy, we haven't finished delivering our Shalom Manas, or the cooking is not finished, or whatever it is, obviously these things have to be taken into account and to weigh it up, and we don't be stiff-necked and strict on our family and take on a Chumrah at the cost of any other thing we said. But if a person, for whatever reason, didn't manage to start his meal before the 10th hour, then according to most Paschim, he should start it. Everybody agrees you should have your Purim Suda, even if you started right before Shkia, whatever the case may be. The person's honest, had a Katzala call, it was at good hospital, or whatever the case may be, whatever his illness is, you start it. But a lot of Paschim say you should make it a slightly smaller meal because of COVID challenge. So although the mitzvah to make a big meal on Purim, but if they cover Shabbos, if you start your meal late in the day after what is it, 3 or something like that, then you should make it smaller than regular Purim Suda. There is another Eitzah, and Shulchan Aruch Harav, the Balatanya, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Shneur Zalman of Liadi, he writes in his Shulchan Aruch, an interesting Gemara, and we have a concept that so long as the Itztumcha is open, the person has appetite. What Chazal mean by that is that while you're eating, you can eat and eat and eat and eat way beyond what you need. Once you stop eating, you'll feel full. It's a wonderful eitzah for all those who want to be health conscious, or lose weight, or go on diet, whatever the case may be. Whatever your motivation and incentive is that after you've eaten a certain amount of food that seems to be enough, then even though you have more food to eat and you have appetite for more food, just stop, take a break, take a 5-minute, 10-minute break, and you'll see that by the time you come back to your food, you can make it even longer, it'll be better, but when you come back to your food, you'll see you have no appetite for it because because once the brain registers food after about 20 minutes after you start to eat. However, if you're always eating, then the brain never registers you full. I mean, I tell you, really, really full, and you can carry on eating, I wouldn't say indefinitely, but pretty much way beyond what you need. Whereas if you stop, then your system, the Gemara calls it, closes up, and you lose your appetite. So he says, now that's a great idea for someone who's on diet, is that you eat what you need, you have more food on the table, and you have an appetite, take a break. Go for a 10 minute walk. You'll come back. You'll see. You have no interest in having the second half of the meal. And that way you'll save yourself from overeating. But this has a nafkamina, la halacha. And it's brought down in Shabbos morning. The Rosh found that, especially in the winter, he didn't have appetite for Suda Shlish. So what he did was that he cut his morning meal into two. He knew that his morning meal would be long enough that it would go after Chatzos. He'd start his morning meal in the morning, because that's when morning meals are eaten. And he knew that it would continue beyond Chatzos. So at some point in his meal, he'd stop, he'd bench, he'd wash again, and then have Lechem Mishnah, continue his meal. So this way, I eat my first meal, and then immediately I eat the second meal, or what we call the second and the third, because it's Suda Shlishi. And that way, he has still appetite, because the stomach hasn't closed yet, so he's able to eat his Suda Shlishi. Whereas if he waited, if he benched, and then did whatever he does in the Shabbos afternoon, whether it's nap or read or learn or walk or whatever the case may be, when he came back for Shabbos Shlishi later, he's not going to have appetite. So Kol Mancha, it's Dum Chob Sucha, a person, so long as his stomach is open, he can eat. So we see the Rosh already brought this idea on what to do on Shabbos morning if you find that you're not going to have appetite for Suda Shlishi later on in the day. Just as an aside, if a person is going to do that, the most possible today hold that he should make a break between the two meals, otherwise you've got a problem of Brocha Shem Tzricha. It could be the Rosh was relying on the fact that for the sake of the mitzvah of the Kain Suda Shlishi, you're allowed to do it, but most of the later Achronim say that nevertheless one should still be machmir to make a break. And then if you're going to cut your meal into two, then you should stop the meal and then go for a walk, leave the house, have a mincha, or whatever the case may be, some sort of hefset that would constitute a hefset hadas, and then come back and watch. The problem with that is that then you've lost the whole point. The point was that you want to continue eating while your stomach is still open. You don't want it to close and lose your appetite. If you're going to go have a mincha, by the time you come back to the mincha, you're not going to be interested in the second meal. So you don't really gain much of what the Rosh has done, except on a time issue. That's like we've had when you have Sheva Brachas in the winter on a Shabbos morning, there's just no time to make a Shalosh Shudas later on. So what we've done is you eat your meal, comes mincha time, you stop, you go for mincha, and you come back, you wash again, and it's true, the second half is not as enticing as the first half, but for sure you're able to mekayim Suda Shlishi, whereas if you just ate the full meal and then benched and went home, people would not have the koyach to get up and come back and still get in the meal before the end of the day. It would be too difficult. So, talking about why did I get up to this? This is going to be actually nafkamina halacha l'maisa in another 5 weeks or so, is when we're going to have Pesach in Hashem. Pesach this year is going to be, the first day of Pesach is going to be on a Sunday, which means that Erev Pesach is going to be on Shabbos. On Shabbos, you have a mitzvah to eat three meals. Each meal has to be with bread. So, and the third meal of the day, the mitzvah is to have it after Zman Mincha, that means a half an hour after Chatzos. How do you eat the third meal on Erev Pesach with bread? You can't have bread after Zman Isra Achilas Chometz. That's 10, 11 o'clock in the morning, you already have to get rid of all your chometz. And now you've got a mitzvah at 12:30 to have another meal. So to eat it with bread, you can't do it because it's chometz, and you're not allowed to eat chometz on Erev Pesach in the afternoon. To eat with matzah, you can't do it because you're not allowed to eat matzah before the Seder, because you're supposed to eat matzah later over. And therefore, you don't eat matzah on Erev Pesach. So you got a problem. No bread, no matzah. So in the olden days, what they did was they ate matzah shira. Matzah that was made from liquid that was not water. It was made from fruit juices, or made from eggs, or some oil, or something like that. And it was done in a way that obviously didn't become chometz. So Ramela, that is chamoitzi, it's bread. It's not the matzah that you're allowed to use for the Seder, because the Seder you have to use what's called lechem oini. It has to be water and flour and nothing else. So here you put eggs and oil and eggs or oil or fruit juice or something else inside. So it's no good for matzah for the Seder. And it's not chametz because it's done in a way that doesn't become chametz. So you've got your perfect solution. That was fine until the Ashkenazim came in the Nice Chumrah and said, no, we don't eat matzah ashira. Because matzah ashira has a possibility, has different criteria to regular matzah as to how it becomes chametz. Regular matzah, we know you've got 18 minutes from when you put the water in until you put it into the oven. And if you do it within that time, it doesn't become chametz. Matzah shira might be quicker than that, and we don't know, and therefore we don't, we Ashkenazim, that's right, we do, but we Ashkenazim don't eat matzah shira. So we're back to square one. We can't have bread, it's too late in the day. We can't have matzah because Erev Pesach, you don't eat matzah. You can't have matzah shira because you're Ashkenazim, and we're machmir not eat matzah shira. So what do you do for shalosh? The answer is you have to do shalosh shira. That's what other things do. You have a cake or knedlach or fruits or meat and potatoes. Cheese and something else, obviously not to have the meat together, but we call bossa or gvina. You can have either a cheese meal or a meat meal, and you're making a meal without bread, and which is the yeved, you yoitza, so the shlishi without washing. When a person cannot eat bread, we allow him to make his shalosh shudas this way. So this is a typical case of anoyness, and that's what he's going to do on Erev Pesach. However, since it's a b'di'eved, so the Magen Avraham is looking for another eitzah. Maybe we can find another way. So he found that according to the Ran, you're allowed to eat shudas shlishi in the morning. As I said, the time for shudas shlishi is after Zman Mincha, from half an hour after Chatzos, which is, let's call it 12:30 for argument's sake, is the Zman of shalosh shudas. And if you eat shalosh shudas before that, you're not yoitz. There's one shita that holds you are yoitz. Says the Magen Avraham, you know what? Eat two meals in the morning. Two bread meals in the morning before the Zman Achilas Chometz, before the end of the Chometz time. That way you have your morning meal, and then you have a second meal. You only yotze according to the line. But at least you chaparan, another shita of having a Siddur Shlishi with bread. And because everybody else holds, you're not yotze, so then you have another meal later, but you'll have it without bread. So he's got a chumrah that we're going to try catch on two sides. You have an extra bread meal in the morning, and you have an extra non-bread meal in the afternoon. It's a big chumrah. Because, as I said, all other shittas apart from the run hold that you just not yotze to the shlishi in the morning, and it puts a lot of pressure and stress on people to do that, because to get two meals in before 10 o'clock in the morning, usually we head off back from shul by 10 o'clock in the morning. Now you've got to be back and have two meals, is a lot of stress and a lot of pressure, and if I'm not telling anybody to do it, speak to your local rabbi and your household members of how they feel about it. And, someone who can and does it with shalom and peace in the house and happiness, ashrei chelkoi, obviously you've got to take into account many other factors. We're just talking about the pure halacha, shiboy. So, there you get a case that you want to have two meals in the morning. How do you do two meals in the morning? You have one, you're going to be davening v'sikin, you're going to be home by 7:30, you sit down and wash and have a small meal, and then you bench, then you take a break, and then you wash again and have another small meal, and then now you've done two meals in the morning. Again, you need to make a break according to most poskim, even though your purpose is for the sake of a mitzvah. And for the sake of a mitzvah, we the Magen Avraham is not choshesh. He holds that it's not a problem to make a bracha shem tzicha, which means to make an unnecessary bracha. You don't need to bench and wash again. You could just continue eating. What are you benching and washing again for? That is unnecessary. That's called a bracha shem tzicha, a bracha that is unnecessary. But since there's a necessity for the sake of a mitzvah, in order to be kind, so the shlishi says the Rosh, you're allowed to make what's called the bracha shen tzricha. The later poskim we said argue with that, and therefore the correct way is to be choishes for the later poskim and make a break between the two meals. With all that, how did we get into all that? Because I wanted to get into the subject of, so we've spoken about Erev Pesach, which is in another five weeks to come. But there's another something else on the subject, and that is that we spoke about that when your Itztumcha is open, when your stomach is still open, you can eat more and more. So says the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. I actually haven't checked it inside, I only heard it quoted, but I still quoted by a few people, that if you sit down to your Purim Suda, say, half an hour before Shabbos comes in, and now, normally would say, don't do that, don't sit down to a meal just before Shabbos, because you're going to ruin your appetite. But here, you're not ruining your appetite. As soon as Shabbos comes in, you just continue eating now the Shabbos meal. So you're having a Purim Suda and a Shabbos meal all in one meal. You're going to be just as hungry for the second half as you are for the first half because you haven't had that break and allowed your brain to realize that you're satisfied. Mamela, you will still be hungry instead of appetite and therefore you can eat into Shabbos. And therefore, an Eitzah for someone who needs to, for whatever reason, needs to start his Suda later on the day, is to make one long Suda out. In fact, there is brought down, I can't remember now who they're quoting, I saw it, but I don't remember who, they quote someone who holds that that is Minhag Yerushalayim, that when Purim falls on a Friday, you make the Suda late in the afternoon and continue it into the night. A lot of Poskim don't like that, even though it's Minhag Yerushalayim, a lot of Poskim don't like that. As I said, to get around the problem of appetite, you do the Shulchan Aruch HaRavim, you continue eating all the way through, and you don't need to bench after the Purim Suda and wash for the Shabbos Suda and get into the question of Rosh and Sichah, like I spoke about, what one would have an issue on Shabbos Erev Pesach. Here you can continue it as one meal. There's no problem with Rosh and Sichah. There's other problems that are involved, if it's in the moment, and therefore, they say it's even though that was the Minhag Yerushalayim, they say it's better not to do it. If you have to, this is the way to do it. What would be the considerations to consider it that it's not the best thing to do is because we have a halacha that says that as soon as Shabbos comes in, you may not eat until you've made Kiddush. So even though you're sitting and dining at a nice meal, the moment Shabbos comes in, it's called that Shkia, you have to stop eating because you cannot continue until you make Kiddush. So great, so stop eating. So now what do you need to do? Now you make Kiddush. So make Kiddush and then continue eating. Great. So far, all so good. What's the problem? If Kiddush takes 2 minutes, it's not going to be a hefset between the two. You suddenly take out another cup of wine. It's Purim Suda. There's loads of wine on the table. Get a kosh, fill it up, make a Kiddush, continue eating. What's the problem? The problem comes as follows. That as soon as we say that it's opposite, the moment Shkia comes, the moment Shabbos arrives, you're not allowed to eat. So maybe all the brachas that are made on the food comes to an end, since I've now come to what's called an isur achila, a time where I may not eat. So at this time, since I cannot eat, my bracha, my hamoitu that I made at the beginning, and my boyfriend I've offered, that I made at the beginning, comes to an end. So if I find now a way to continue eating, I need to make a new bracha rishoyno. I have to make another bracha. So most poskim hold that legabe, the yayin, in connection with the wine, you don't have to make another bracha because you're not also from drinking wine. You may continue drinking wine, just the next cup of wine has to be the cup of Kiddush and not just a cup of L'chaim. But you may continue drinking wine and therefore there's no is on the wine. So therefore, if you're going to do this and you're going to make Kiddush in the middle, so you make Kiddush without Borei Priyat Gafen. You say by Hulu, like you do on every Friday night, and then you skip the Borei Priyat Gafen and go to the next bracha. Then you make Kiddush. Great. So the gabe that we've solved it. The problem is the next problem. What do you do, the gabe hamoitzi? Do you bring lechemisha? Do you not bring lechemisha? Can you rely on the fact that this is a bread meal and therefore you don't need lechemisha? A lot of us hold you should bring lechemisha. Okay, you can be machmir and bring lechemisha. I haven't got any b'dievers over here. But the question is, do you make a hamoitzi? Do not make a hamoitzi. On the one hand, I told you that the moment you get to an isa achila, so your original bracha breaks and now you're going to need a new bracha. But there are opinions that hold, no, it doesn't. How do we pass in Lemaisa? Lemaisa, the person has to do this. We say, Sopik Bracha Sekula. If you have a Sopik on a Bracha, then it's better not to make the Bracha. So you're going to continue eating the second meal without a Bracha, which according to some opinions you have to. But you're going to do it without a Bracha because of Sopik Bracha Sekula. So that's number one b'dievet about doing it. There's another b'dievet about doing it is when it comes to benching, what you're going to do. You started your meal on Purim and you finished your meal on Shabbos. So usually when you start your meal on a certain day, even if you end it on another day, you go Bas HaSchola. When you have Shalosh Shudas on Shabbos afternoon and you finish it late into the night, you still say Ritzei. Why? Because the beginning of the Suda wasn't Shabbos, but maybe you're five to say Ritzei. But when the Ritzei is going to contradict something that you're going to be saying in your benching, then there's a problem. So we have the typical example when you have Rosh Chodesh on a Sunday. What do you do when you have Rosh Chodesh on a Sunday? You ate your Shalosh Shudas on Shabbos afternoon and continued into the night. Now you have a meal that you started in the day, you finished it at night, and so now you got a chiyuv because at the beginning you have a chiyuv of Ritzei, because at the end you have a chiyuv of Yalav Yavoy. And there's three opinions, of course. Some say Ritzei, some say Yalav Yavoy, some say both. But the problem of saying both is problematic because it's a tati d'sasri. It is contradictory. How can I say Ritzei and refer to today as Shabbos and also say Yalav Yavoy, which means that by definition today is Sunday? I can't in the same breath say today Shabbos and today Sunday. Either or, can't be both. Therefore, most Pesachim hold you're not going to say both, and therefore you should choose one, and you should choose the other, because right now it is Rosh Chodesh. Therefore, in such a case, it is suggested by the Mishnah Berurah that you should have your Shalosh Shuvos a little earlier, and not eat bread after Shkia so you don't get into the Shaila. So this happens once a year, Be'erich comes out. Because the Rosh Chodesh moves every month, moves a day in the week, a day or two in the week. But it happens once every six months or so that you're going to have Rosh Chodesh on Shabbos, but not always is it that, and therefore you're going to have Rosh Chodesh on Sunday. But sometimes Shabbos is Rosh Chodesh as well, so it's not a problem. When it's weekday, when it's non-Rosh Chodesh on Shabbos, and Rosh Chodesh on Sunday, then that comes out approximately once a year, and once a year you've got to remember that Shabbos Shuvos, you should try not to eat bread after Shkia. So now we go back to Purim. What are you doing for him? So there the problem is that you've come to bench, you started the day on Purim, and you ended the day on Shabbos. To say Al HaNisim means that it's still Friday. To say Ritzeh means that it's Shabbos. You can't say Al HaNisim and Ritzeh. If the Boston say, you should skip Al HaNisim. That means that you had your Purim Suda and you bench without Al HaNisim, which according to some opinions is problematic, because you would even have, according to some things, you'd have to repeat your benching if you didn't say Al HaNisim. So you get yourself into a bit of a pickle over here. There's a thing. Some, it's brought down an old Min Yerushalayim that we put in front on a Friday, that's what we do, that we have a meal late in the afternoon, and let it run into Shabbos, and you had one long meal instead of a meal in the morning and a meal in the evening. And Legabe the Te'ovan, the fact that you have to eat with appetite, so you made it one long meal, so the second half was still part of the original appetite of the first meal, based on the Svara that said in the name of the Shulchan Aruch Harav, and then you take care of all your problems. You have your Purim Suda, you have your Shabbos Suda, you have no problems. The two problems is that you're not going to be making Hamoiti Asopic, and you're not going to be saying Ananis. Okay, that sums up basically what the issues were with Gabi Purim Suda on a Friday. And although I didn't want to spend half an hour on it, I did. So we'll move on and go to what we're discussing is Meleches Nochri on Shabbos. And now we're basically going to give some examples and apply the knowledge that we have worked on until now. Not going to be learning too much new, but rather just applying what we have learned. So, here goes an interesting example. You left the light on in the fridge, so obviously you cannot open the fridge because it's a secretion. So even though you're not interested in turning on the light, you're in the food out, but there's no way for you to open the door without activating the light. That is considered a secretion. Secretion is also on Shabbos. And therefore, even if it's no nichele, even if there's a lot of light in the room, and you don't need the light in the fridge, kosher cake, you did. But even if you don't need the light in the fridge, it's still sekresha, and therefore you cannot do it. However, if you have a goy available, you may ask the goy to do it, because there are cases where we allow you to ask a goy to do something, even if there's sekresha involved, because we see what the kavana of the goy is to open the fridge for you to take something out, put something back, close the fridge for you. They're not interested in the light going on, but the light going off. And therefore, from your point of view, you may ask the goy to do it. Then you get an example, you can ask the goy to open the fridge for you. Not only that, if the fridge is open before they close it, you can tell the goy, you know, that if the fridge closes, I'm going to have to call you again. But I can't open the fridge so long as the light is, and the light goes on in the goy's head, excuse the pun, and he's realizes, oh, maybe I should disconnect the light, or I should disable it, then you may do Sipu Dvarim Ba'alma, as you've spoken, as long as it is not a hint or a direct request, but you just tell him the circumstances, and they go ahead and do it, then you may notify the goy of your predicament, and the goy can let the goy do whatever is needed to be done in order to get you out of it. A goy can use your things in the house for their own purpose, even if it uses, even if it's yours. For example, if the boy needs hot water, you can turn on the boiler. Why? Because sometimes we limit the goy to use things that are yours. He's not doing malacha in the water, he's doing malacha and turning on the boiler, and therefore, even though fresh water comes in and it's going to be heated, oh, I see. So it's not that he can turn on the boiler, that would be a separate issue. If he's washing dishes, he can turn on the boiler. If you have that case where you have a hot boiler that's on already, now why can't you use it on Shabbos? Because when you take out cold water when you take out hot water from your boiler, fresh cold water goes in, and the fresh cold water gets cooked at the top as it goes in and mixes with the existing hot water. The fact that maybe the element will come on, maybe not, maybe it's on already, it's a double shemesh gavan, could be that that's not even an issue. The issue is more that you know for sure that fresh cold water comes into the tank and is going to be heated by the existing hot water inside there. So we're not, even without taking account to the element. However, this is indirect, and just like you can ask the guy to open your fridge when the light is going to go on, and all you're interested is opening the fridge and not the light, so you can use the hot water even though fresh water is going to be heated. That's not his interest. You can also ask, tell a guy about your difficulty to open a box, a bag of milk, a can of food, or a bottle top, or anything which even if it has no way for me to do it on Shabbos, sometimes there are ways to put a hole in, you can do this because it's cut from the side, but even if it doesn't have a normal way to open, and he's going to open in the normal way, nevertheless, you can tell the guy, but there are sifu dvarim, because you can't tell him to do a malacha, but you can, if it's something I can't do myself, but then I can tell it to him in, I need the food inside here, and I have no way of getting it up by myself. That hasn't told him to do anything, you just told him the situation that you're stuck in. Now here's an interesting one, not so relevant as Maneno, but I think I'm just about old enough to remember it, and that is in the days when you had milk deliveries to the door. You had, at least when I grew up, you bought coupons in the dairy, and you left them at the door, and the delivery man would come every morning or many times a week, and he'd drop off fresh milk at your front door and take the empty bottles back, and he had count the coupons, and that's where he knew how many milk to drop off. Can you allow the delivery of such things to take place on Shabbos? If there is need to have this milk on Shabbos, say you have no access to getting enough supply on Erev Shabbos or something like that, and you have children in the house who need the milk, whatever it is, when you do deliveries on Shabbos, or only twice a week, and the last delivery, the milk's going to stay fresh. I mean, today, with the pasteurized and homogenized, ultra heat treated, and who knows what today, even our standard, what we call regular milk, has like a 3-week shelf life in the fridge. But it wasn't always like that. Therefore, you know, to buy milk on a Monday for Shabbos was a little difficult. So can you have the delivery done on Shabbos? So first of all, there's got to be a Torah Shabbos. That's number one. Once there's a Torah Shabbos, then yes, you can have a delivery done on Shabbos with a couple of interesting conditions. First of all, it has to be that he's not bringing it through a Rosh Hashanah Daraisa. It can only be that the place that he's taking it through where there's no Eruv is only a Karmel, is not a public domain Midaraisa. If he delivers it, you're allowed to drink the milk in the case where it's necessary to have it delivered. Unless you know that it was milk from Shabbos, it may not be from Shabbos. You may not receive it into your hands, you have to get the guy to sit down. You may not prepare money for him, even if you prepared the money from before and he's going to take it by himself, you may not put the money out. You may put out the coupon or the receipt or the whatever it is that you got when you paid in advance, and you have something to show him how much he has to put down, that's been paid for, that you may leave for him to see on Shabbos. You don't have to stop him from writing it down. He's delivered 3 bottles. They write down in your account that you're over 3 more bottles. That you don't have to stop him. That's his issue. You may not discuss the situation if he's around. So, how many do I have? And how many have I got now? What do I owe? Or that you discuss. Also, you may not give back the empties because that is no need. To receive the milk is a Torah Shabbos, but to give back the empties is not allowed. There's no Torah Shabbos. In a city where there would be a problem of Rosh Hashanah and Daraisa, nevertheless, he delivered it, even though we said we shouldn't allow such deliveries, but he did deliver it, then you may not drink the milk on Shabbos, but on Moshe Shabbos, you can drink it right away, and you do not have to wait the Sheyasu, the time it takes to deliver it, because really you could have gone to the milk and drunk it, so maybe you didn't gain so much that he brought it across the road. Therefore, that's not considered as something you have to wait for the Sheyasu, but you may not have it on Shabbos. Meat has to be kashered within 3 days. Within 72 hours of shchita, you have to salt the meat and get the blood out of it. If you don't kasher meat within 72 hours, the only way to kasher is to roast it. You salt it and put it over a fire, like we do the liver. Liver has a chitta that way. But meat is salted, is washed and soaked, or left to sit with salt for an hour, and then it's kashered. But it has to be done within 72 hours. If it's not done within 72 hours, then the only way to eat roast it. So therefore, if you have meat where its 72-hour deadline ends up on Shabbos, and you were unable or didn't manage or forgot to take care of it before Shabbos, because there is a way to extend the 72 deadline, and that is to wash the meat. You do a hadafa to the meat before Shabbos, or whatever, before the 72 hours are over. Then it gives you another 72 hours until you do the melicha. So now you've got the deadlines coming up. It hasn't been washed. I need to get it washed before the 72 hours are up. If not, the only way this meat can be processed is roasting, which is not the end of the world, because in a normal household, so you have a piece of meat that you got to roast it instead of on the barbecue. Cooking it, no. But if you're dealing with more than just a piece of meat, and now you've got meat that you just can't cook, you've got to roast it, or you're selling it. So you're only selling now roasted meat, you can't sell raw meat, so then there's loss involved. So because of the loss involved, you may ask the guy to the hadafa to do the washing down of the meat. In cold countries, we've spoken about this, we're carrying through. In cold countries, where we say hakol cholim et hatina, when it comes to cold, everybody's considered ill, and therefore you're allowed to do amir la'akum. You can ask the guy to do a melacha for you, such as turning on the heat, with central heating, or making a fire, or whatever the case may be. It's got to be cold enough that the adults are uncomfortable in the cold. If it's not that cold, then you can't ask a goy. However, if there are elderly or children in the house that are suffering from the cold, even though for the adults it's not that cold, that's enough of a reason to allow for a goy to on the heat. And once they do, then everybody can. However, just as a note, one, anything that needs to be done should be prepared in advance, so you don't have to hand him any tools or anything like that in order to do his work, because it's on Shabbos. And we've come to the end of the time. I wish everybody a Purim Sameach. And in Hashem, next week.
Thank you. Have a lovely day.